today on Richard Ellis Talks.
Now let me tell you right up front, I don't get it. There's a lot of stuff about Christianity, about the spiritual aspect, things that are in the scriptures that I cannot explain to you, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of it that I do by faith because it's in there and I've seen it work in my own life.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is this,
The Fast Track. And I want to read you a couple of definitions. I did a little research this week, and I've noticed I talk to people, if you talk to college graduates, sometimes they get out of college and they've done an internship of some kind at a company, and they'll hit a company and they're kind of these young executive recruit type of people, and they'll put them on some kind of a fast track, some kind of fast training track. And what that's designed to do is bring them up to speed, put them in a position, in a place where they can take over responsibility and get on with it. Do it in a fast way as opposed to spending 20 or so years trying to learn the company. One of the definitions you'll find in fast track being one word is to speed up the processing, production, or construction in order to meet a goal. That's one definition. Or the one that probably fits best with what we're going to talk about today is a course leading to rapid advancement or success. Now, this is probably not going to go anywhere you think it's going to go, so just hold on. And I'm going to hit one of what I think, and biblically I'll show you why, one of the basic fundamental things in Christianity, but is left out as probably the last thing that any Christian ever addresses or talks about, frankly, because it involves some sacrifice. But I'll show you in a minute why it's basic. If you want to go ahead and try to find two of these places, if you know where Matthew is, turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's one of them we're going to deal with. And if you know where Isaiah is, if you don't on either one, just go to the table of contents in the front of your Bible. It'll say Matthew, Isaiah, find the page number and turn there. And then Isaiah chapter 58, we're going to look at that as well. Matthew chapter 6 and Isaiah 58, and I'll read some other passages as well, but just stick a finger there in the Bible and mark that spot, and we'll come back to that. If you look first in Matthew chapter 6, there are three things that are mentioned here by Jesus as he is speaking to this crowd. Let's start out in verse 1. Matthew 6, verse 1. He says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven." Now this involves money. Verse 2, "Therefore, when you do charitable deeds," and I'm going to make an issue here of one word. If your Bible said "if" instead of "when," it would change everything. But there are three things he addresses here, the first one being charitable deeds or involving money. He says, "When you do charitable deeds, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." So when you're giving money, you ought to go out of your way, he says, to not even let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Be so careful not to say, "Hey, look what I'm doing. I wrote a check. I gave money." Do it as discreetly and as privately as possible. So that's one thing about giving money. When you give money. Verse 5, "And when you pray." Now he's hitting three things here that if he's going to take the time to even mess with, money is a big issue in a lot of people's lives. Prayer should be a big issue and is an issue if you're not praying. He says, "When you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions," kind of chanting prayers. He says, be personal in your prayers. And he gives us an idea of something to pray here, and that's where we get the Our Father prayer out of the scriptures. So he goes through prayer. Now, you think if he's hit money and he's hit prayer, then there's going to be something to follow this if he waits at least for it to be number 3 here in this list, and it's in verse 16. He says, "Moreover, when you fast." Now, why in the world would God bring up fasting or Jesus talk about fasting? I mean, who fasts? What is fasting about? I mean, it's kind of a weight reduction program for a lot of people. You know, they think, well, I'm going to give up food to lose weight. But what is the real motivation for fasting, scripturally? There have been issues in my life. And guys, if you have something in your life that nothing has broken, some habit, some drug addiction, some sexual addiction, some area in your life, a relationship, someone that's not a Christian that you've been praying for, it is a sacrifice. And one of the basic things that you'll see if you look at fasting is when you fast, you give up something that your flesh wants. And the Bible describes your flesh as just your body. And if you go one day without eating, I'm going to tell you something, your body's going to talk to you. And your body will say, what are you doing to me? You got to feed me. You got to take care of me. I need food. You're not going to die. Most people are not going to die if they give up food for one day. And if you look at Jesus, you go back and look in the Gospels, one of the first thing when His ministry started, before anything kicked in, it says the Spirit led Him into the wilderness for a 40-day fast. So it must be something to this thing, or He wouldn't have done it. And I'm not recommending a 40-day fast. I probably know the people I know on one hand or two that have fasted for 40 days. So I'm not saying dive in and do a 40-day fast. I'd start with a day. I'd go to 2 or 3 days maybe at some point, maybe build to a week, and only if God directs you to do more than that would I go beyond that. Whether you think it applies to you or not, let me tell you something. There's a day coming when it's going to apply to you or someone you know, and they're going to need you to fast in their behalf, or you're going to have to fast to see something happen. Now let's read Matthew 6 again, and let me read you what he says here. He says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, this is what they did back then. Somebody would fast. These religious guys would fast, and they would walk around, you know, barely holding on to things, just, and somebody would say, well, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I think, let me sit down here just a minute. I'll be fine. Well, what's the matter? Well, pray for me, brother. I'm fasting today. They would look, these long, sad, sick faces, like they were barely hanging on. And what happened was people would recognize that and see that and say, oh, he's so spiritual, he must be fasting. And that was their reward, the fact that they got seen by men and were thought to be holy. But look what he says. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. Don't act like you're fasting. Don't let anybody know you're fasting. Be very careful. Live as normally as just go on. Now, some people interpret this to say we should never tell anybody you're fasting. You should never say anything. It is an incredible opportunity when it does come up. Because if you go to lunch with your people at office or you're with a group of people and they say, well, aren't you going to order anything? I'll just have a glass of water. No, I'm fine. I'm going to eat next year. You know, they say, well, aren't you going to eat? And you say, well, no, I'm fine. They say, well, what's the matter? Are you sick? You say, no, I'm fine. If they keep pressing, you say, look, I mean, you're asking, I'm going to tell you, I'm fasting. You're what? I mean, they'll flip out. You have an unbelievable opportunity to share why and what's going on that you're praying for a specific issue, either in your life or in somebody else's. So it's a great open door to share. But he says, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, let me tell you right up front, I don't get it. There's a lot of stuff about Christianity, about the spiritual aspect, things that are in the Scriptures that I cannot explain to you, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of it that I do by faith because it's in there and I've seen it work in my own life. Now, you say, well, I don't believe fasting works. Well, don't say that till you try it. Now, lest somebody say to me, well, this is Old Testament stuff, we'll get to that in a minute. If you're taking notes, write some of this stuff down. I've already mentioned Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, where Jesus fasted and was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. There's a question asked in Matthew chapter 9. If you're in Matthew, just keep flipping if you want to turn to these. Matthew 9:14, the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to him, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? And he is the bridegroom. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Jesus said, they're not going to do it while I'm here, but after I'm gone, they will fast. And we are His followers. We are His disciples. In Matthew 17:21, there's an instance where a kid with an epileptic seizure, he had problems and it turned out to be demonic, and the disciples kept trying to speak to this demon and get it to come out and leave this kid alone. Nothing would happen, and Jesus spoke and the demon came out. In verse 21, the disciples said to Jesus, "Well, how could you do it and we couldn't?" He said, "However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting." There are issues in your life. There are things going to come up that you're going to deal with that you are not going to get past without some prayer and fasting. All right, let me look at another one with you. Acts 10. And this is Acts 10, verse 30. "So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Cornelius was fasting. And he was not even a Christian at that time. He was so much, he believed in God, he was searching for God, but he said, "God, you know what? I'm willing to give up food itself to find you." Acts 13:2-3, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away." And this is over and over, just kind of a given. When they were picking Christian leaders, and before they would lay hands on them and send them out, they would fast and pray for them. Acts 14:23, another case of this. "So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And then there's one other place in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I think it's verse 5, that it talks about a married couple that the only reason they should not have sex is if they're praying and fasting about something specifically. That if you're going to abstain, I know that's a great news to a lot of guys. You're going to go, "Yeah, that's what it says right here, sweetheart, in the Bible. See, it's in the Bible. We should have sex unless we're fasting, and I don't feel led to do that this year." So it's in a lot of different places, a lot of different categories. All right, turn over to Isaiah 58. If you found that, go ahead and flip over there to Isaiah 58 in the Old Testament. And this is probably one of the most amazing passages in the Scripture about fasting in regard to this issue and what it can accomplish. At some point, guys, let me tell you this. It's going to cost you. This Christianity thing, there are a lot of people who sign up and say, "Well, I want to go to heaven. That's why I'm in. I found out Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead, and that'll get me into heaven. I went into heaven. But that's it. I'm done." And you think you're going to sit on the bench on the sideline and just enjoy the ride all the way to heaven. But God did not send His Son to die on a cross so you could just get into heaven. He did that so He could get you through life and your life make an impact on somebody else's life in this life. And that is going to require some suffering and some sacrifice. It's going to cost you somewhere along the way. And I'm not saying to religiously fast, just fast all the time because it's something you ought to do. There are times when specifically the Holy Spirit will say, "You know what, it's time. There's nothing else breaking this. Let's pray, let's fast." And I have a situation in the last couple of weeks where a guy was struggling with something. I've struggled with the same thing. And I said, "Look, I've been where you are. I'm going to pray and fast with you about this on this specific day and ask God to do something in this area of your life." I've spoken with this guy recently and it is changing. There's been a dramatic thing where nothing before changed this area in his life. It changed. Something is going on. All right, let's look at Isaiah 58. And let's start with verse 1. "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers." And what they're saying to God is, "We fasted. Why aren't you paying attention? Look at us down here suffering. We're not eating. We're doing what you said. Why don't you pay attention?" And God says to them, "Well, in fact, the day of your fasting, you're finding pleasure. You're not doing anything. You're not doing it for me because you really want me. And you're exploiting your laborers. You're not only taking pleasure in the day and acting like nothing's going on, you're not seeking after me, but you're even treating your employees bad on the day you fast." Verse 4, "Indeed you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen? Now, this is where you got to pay attention. If you're underlining stuff, you're going to find something in here that applies to you. God says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? This is why He says to fast. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Now, let me just stop and go over verse 6 a minute. Now, I don't know if you're there yet, but sooner or later, some sin's going to knock you on your butt. And it's going to hit you so hard, and you're going to get so sick of it, and so consumed by it, and so frustrated by it. You're going to say, God, I used to have fun with this, whether it's sex, drugs, alcohol, whatever, stealing, whatever your deal is. And you say, God, I have pushed the limit. This is not fun anymore. I'm not enjoying this anymore. I don't want to be this way, live this way anymore. But I've gone so far with this behavior and activity that I can't back up. Maybe it's pornography, whatever your deal is. And you've taken it to the limit. And when you try to stop, you can't stop. And your flesh literally runs your life. Whatever you want, your body says, I'm going to have what I want when I want it. And you can't stop doing whatever it is you're trying to do. If you ever reach that point, or you're there now, or you have a friend who's there now, I'm telling you guys, there is nothing like prayer and fasting that'll break this stuff. And when he describes here in verse 6, to loose the bonds of wickedness. If there's just evil stuff going on in your life, this is one of the only ways to break it. To undo the heavy burdens. If you feel like you're carrying around some sin, it'll lift it. To let the oppressed go free and that you break every yoke. And sometimes sin in the Bible is described as a yoke of bondage, something that literally locks you in and you can't stop. The Bible talks about the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This is one of the ways to do it. Verse 7, look at the next category. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Now, I haven't run the numbers on this, but if you fast for a day and you think about what you spend on breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever you do in a day, maybe it's $6, maybe it's $25, I don't know. But if you get in a mode and say, you know what, God, I'm going to take all the money that I save today, I calculate what I usually save, what I usually spend on money, I'm going to take that money, I'm going to feed some homeless person with that money. Not just giving up food, but saying, God, I'm going to use it. He says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him. There's just something about giving up something basic like food where you say, God, I know what it is to be without in some small way, and it makes you aware and you're able to notice what other people are going through. So you see the naked, that you cover him. And not hide yourself from your own flesh or from someone, another human being like you. Verse 8. Now it goes from sin kind of stuff to practical kind of stuff. And then it gets into some spiritual stuff here in verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily. And your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. First thing. You say, well, I'm reading the Bible. I just don't get it. I'm searching for answers from God. I read this book and I just don't see it. If you will say to God, before you read the book, you set aside a day and say, look, God, I want to know what you say and what the book means. And you say, I'm going to give up food for this day. I'm going to fast. And I'm asking you that the lights would come on, that you will show me. And he says here, verse 8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. It's like the lights come on. There's revelation that occurs when you're praying and fasting. And if you're doing this for that reason, I'd suggest you set aside a day where you really can get the book and sit down and pray and fast and read the scriptures and say, God, talk to me. I'm looking for an answer about a job, a relationship, whatever it is. You got to talk to me. I want to know you more intimately. Physical healing. Literally here in verse 8, your healing shall spring forth speedily. Are you sick? And you've got some disease or some problem that nothing's been able to break? I'm telling you, guy, and I'd consult with your doctor, obviously, to see if you can, blood pressure reasons, all those type of things. But I would encourage you to say, God, I'm sick, I've prayed, I've done everything, I'm going to fast and pray about this, and I'm asking you to heal my body. The scripture says here that your healing will spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You will live a righteous life, people will see you coming, there will be a change there, and it also provides protection from the backside where the enemy can sneak up on you basically. It just makes you very alert, it changes not only how you live, but how the enemy can approach you. Verse 9, and this may be, I think, one of the greatest challenges that I hear from people in terms of prayer. They say, I pray and I don't think I get any answers. Ever feel that way? I pray and it's like God's not listening. The prayers go up and hit the ceiling and bounce down. He says in verse 9, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Wouldn't that be nice? I'm not saying it doesn't happen when you don't fast, but if you really want to hear from God, call on Him. It says, when you call on Him, when you're fasting, the Lord will answer. You will cry and He will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places and shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorers of the streets to dwell in. Now let me tell you enough about just talking about it. And I'm not telling you guys just because you fast and pray that it'll go away completely. As long as I can remember, since I was a little bitty kid, I bit my fingernails. 6, 7 years old. As long as I don't know why. I don't know if I was afraid. I don't know what it was. And I spent my life hiding my hands as long as I can remember. And if you've ever done this, and I'm not going to ask for any hands because you can't show them if you bite your nails. But anyhow, if you've ever lived with a fear and then trying to hide and go seek this way, there are ways to hold a pen where no one can notice it. There are ways to hold a glass where no one can notice it. There are ways to do everything you do where you hide your hands all the time. If you think people are looking at you and you're ashamed of something. This thing ate my lunch, literally, for years and years and years. And finally one day I said, God, enough is enough. I'm a grown man. I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of playing these games. Whether anybody finds out about it or not, I know what's going on and I'm sick of it. And I don't remember if I did this with somebody else or not. I was usually too embarrassed to even talk about it. But I said, finally one day, I said, God, I'm going to pray and fast and I want this habit busted out of my life so that I can get on with my life without anything holding me back. I prayed and fasted, and I'm going to tell you one of the most awesome things. I'm not telling you I'm running 10 for 10. But about a week ago, I went and did something that maybe is normal to everybody else. But I walked in some little place, and I didn't even tell my wife I was doing this. I walked in and got a manicure. Now, I'm going to tell you something. For a guy like me, who for almost 40 years has struggled with it, to even have anything to clip is a miracle. And I sat in there, and I thought, you know, God, there's no explanation for this except that you've done it. Now, you say, well, that's stupid. You just ought to quit biting your nails. You know what I say? So is your deal. You ought to quit doing whatever you're doing. The guys that struggle with sexual problems, the women that struggle with whatever it is. I mean, everybody struggles with something. You say, well, but nobody knows about it. I'm fine. I don't have to hide. You know what? You got to hide from yourself. And you think you're hiding from God and it's just going to go away somehow. Sooner or later, you're going to get sick of feeling the way you feel and living the way you live. And you're going to say, God, I can't take it anymore. Something has got to break.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. We get it and want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellis.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall so others can pray for you as well. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellis.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Now again, I said earlier, I can't tell you I understand this. I can't explain it. But something happens in the spiritual realm that when you say for spiritual reasons, I am not going to eat, that even the demons themselves go, we're in big trouble. The last thing the devil wants you to do is to pray and fast because it is so powerful and it is such a fast track to getting answers that it will break almost anything that's out there. And if you say, well, I've tried it, then I'd say try it with another person, with 2 people, 3 people. You can get a whole church. I'm encouraging you to take a step of faith. And I'd almost say whether you're a Christian or not, Because Cornelius in the scripture believed, but he hadn't met Christ yet. If you're not a Christian, you say, well, God, I don't believe any of this stuff and I'm challenged by it, whatever, I just don't get it. Then fast and pray and say, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. I'm willing to give up food to find you. Pray and fast and see what God does as a result of that.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.